Good evening, everybody. Thank you all for being here with us tonight at Augusta Road. If you're watching on Facebook, we really appreciate that. You know, one of the cool things about that is viewers could either be watching right now as I'm standing in front of you preaching these words here live, you know, this very evening, or they could be watching well after the fact. That's one of the really neat things and wonders of the internet. Is that these words that I'm preaching tonight will live on our Facebook page for a long time. I try not to think about that too much, but that is certainly the case, and it's really, really cool. So thank you for being here. If you're watching online, thank you so much for that. This evening, I want to talk about the great man Moses. And my, what a great man he was. He lived a full 120-year life. And this evening, we're going to look at just the closing moments of that life. Moses, the servant of the Lord, died, is what Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 says. Moses was buried, and no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses has so much that he can teach us, and especially, I find that to be the case in these final moments of his life here, where there's so many lessons that just kind of come together. And I want to just mention two of those with you tonight. Two lessons and one tiny one here at the end as we wrap things up. But one of the first things we notice about Moses' death here, as heavy of a subject as it might kind of seem, is there is a tremendous outpouring of God's love and mercy and grace and kindness and warmth and all of the warm and fuzzy things you think about and you frequently associate with God. Moses was a wonderful recipient of all. And we know that Moses, prior to his death, just prior to his death, was blessed by God in a particularly amazing way. Moses, you see, was not allowed to cross over into the promised land. That's a little preview of what lesson number two is going to be in tonight's sermon. But God blessed Moses with the ability to see that promised land. God calls Moses to go up on the top of Mount Nebo there, and the Bible lets us know that God allowed Moses to see this wondrous sight. And if you're staying right there in Deuteronomy chapter 34, you see that Moses went up to this mountain. 120 years old he was, but the Bible says that he still had the vigor of a young man. His eye was not dimmed. Verse 7, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7, lets us know that his strength was unabated. Moses climbed to the top of this mountain, and there he spent his final moments with God. And God allowed him to see. The Lord showed him, chapter 34, verse 1. I hang a particular amount of emphasis on those words. The Lord showed him. You could do this if you want to. You could Google view from Mount Nebo, and you'll see some pretty cool pictures. But you won't see what the Bible here tells us that Moses saw. The Bible here tells us that Moses saw all the land from Gilead to Dan, from Naphtali to Ephraim. God showed Moses valleys and plains and palm trees. I don't know, but it certainly seems possible. It's definitely possible. And it seems maybe perhaps even more than possible, maybe probable, that God somehow or another, in a way that we're not explained fully here in these words of Deuteronomy 34. God, it would seem, if we read these words with a lot of weight to them, God enhanced Moses' vision. Pictures from this vantage point today, they're cool, they're remarkable. I mean, presumably, nobody knows this for sure, but the tour guide sure make it seem like you're standing where Moses stood. You're seeing what Moses saw. They have signs and such indicating that's the case. Again, maybe not. But the point that I'm making is, with your eyes, you're not seeing this grand detail that's being described in Deuteronomy chapter 34. With an expensive 21st century camera, you're not seeing and photographing all of the detail that God is telling us that Moses saw here. You're seeing a cool, breathtaking sight, no doubt. But what God is telling us here that Moses saw is very incredible in its detail. And perhaps, I say, maybe you want to say it along with me, it's fine if you don't, I say probably God is doing something here to allowing Moses to see this promised land that he would not go into, mind you. God is allowing Moses to see it with a heightened sense of detail. Don't know how God did that, if he even did it to begin with. I don't know how God does so many of the things that he did. But here we see mercy, we see love, we see grace, we see kindness, we see warmth, we see all of the things that we have come to associate with God down through the years. Moses is the recipient of all of this kindness, of all of this goodness. Our God is such a good God. And he here blesses Moses with a moment before his death that is truly touching. This mercy, this grace, this goodness, this kindness, this warmth, all of this feel-good moment doesn't take away what happened between Moses and God, though. And that's an important thing to keep straight in our minds. Moses is approaching God here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy chapter 34, and Moses still has to face the consequences of his sins. Go to the mountain. This is what God says to Moses back a few chapters. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 48, 49, and following. You go to this mountain. I will show you this land, but I will give the people this land. Notice that kind of stinging contrast there. Moses is going to see the land. But Moses, the Bible says, very tastefully, is going to be gathered to his people. That means he's going to pass away from this life. He's going to go on into the afterlife. Moses will see the land, but the children of Israel will possess the land. It's theirs for the taking. It seems a rather, I don't know, we could use the word unfair. Seems, it's not unfair, but it seems, man, it just seems so unfortunate that Moses, all the stuff that he did, is not able to go into this promised land. It's sad. I mean, it's very, very heartbreaking here. God explains why, not in a way to rub this in Moses' face, but just in a matter-of-fact way that doesn't negate his love, mercy, grace, kindness, all of that good stuff. But here's what God has to say to explain himself. Not that God needs to explain himself, but in Deuteronomy 32:51, God reminds Moses, not that Moses needs this reminder, but God says to Moses, because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel, because you broke faith with me, because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people, you will see the land, but you will not go into the land. Let me read those lines again. Over Moses' sin, God says, you broke faith with me. Reading from the ESV tonight. You broke faith with me. Other translations I'm familiar with say, you believed me not, you didn't sanctify me. That might be the reading of your translation. You did not treat me as holy, my version says tonight. Wow. Think about sin. And think about sin the way that God thinks about sin. And sometimes those are mighty different. You know, you think about sin as, man, not that big a deal. And, you know, nobody's perfect. Or, that's a little thing. Doesn't make any difference. Think about Moses' sin. And as we analyze Moses' sin, it seems, boy, I mean, you tell me, it seems especially insignificant from the outside looking in. You recall Moses' sin, don't you? In Numbers chapter 20, it's Moses, yes, this same Moses who a generation later is at the brink of the promised land. Right here in the book of Numbers, he's nowhere near the promised land because these whining Jews just would not fall in line and obey God. They could not string together a number of days of obeying God without complaining about it first. And Moses, we can understand, can't we? Moses has had it up to here with their complaining and whining and quarreling. He calls them rebels. Numbers chapter 20, verse 10. Hear now, you rebels. Shall we bring water from you out of this rock? They just had this inexplicable inability to trust in God. Grant you, this is the same God that delivered them from Egypt. In the most mighty way, we might add, they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. I mean, this is a God who could do anything on their behalf. And when they wanted food, God rained down bread from heaven. When they got tired of that bread, God gave them meat to satisfy them. And here, they're thirsty. Bless their hearts, they're thirsty. And they think that God is going to let them die of thirst. I don't get it. I do get it. I'm a dad. Sometimes your children act like this, you know, they're dying of thirst over here, and you never give them anything. Meanwhile, they just got up from the lunch table, you know. I mean, you give them everything and don't treat them as a stranger in your house. You know, they're the kids. You go to the pantry, you go to the refrigerator, get whatever you want. But they're thirsty and they're over in the corner, just kind of wilting under their oppressive thirst. And you never do anything for me. You can probably sense that I've been there a time or two before. Well, here the children of Israel are rolling that out before God. Oh, they're so thirsty. God is just going to let them die, as if God is now incapable of giving them water. For crying out loud, they walked across the Red Sea. Did you hear me? They walked across the Red Sea on dry land. And when the Egyptian army came in hot pursuit of them, thinking, hey, we'll do the same thing, guess what happened? Nuh-uh. God closed up the Red Sea on this Egyptian army. What wouldn't you think? That would have sent a message to these people that they're special in God's sight. When they were hungry, God gave them bread. Thirsty, God gave them water. Here, they're acting like God's not going to be able to keep them alive. And Moses has had enough. Oh, you can imagine how fed up with this Moses was day in and day out, having to coax these people into some modicum of obedience and gratitude to God. He's tired of it, Moses is. And Moses says, do you want us to bring you water from this rock? And he lifts up his hand and he hits the rock twice. And God delivers water to the people. But that's not what God told Moses to do, remember. God told Moses to speak to this rock. And in a moment of aggravation, in a moment of just being so fed up, Moses hits the rock. What's the big deal, right? What's the diff? Moses hit the rock. God said, speak to the rock, you know? It's still coming from God. Can't we move past this little detail? God says no. Learn this about God. And don't ever forget it. God takes his word extremely seriously. You need to take God's word extremely seriously because he ain't playing. He says something, he means it, and he expects our obedience. The Lord, right in the aftermath of this incident in Numbers chapter 20, the Lord says to Moses, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I've given them. Wow. But that little sin, as we might describe it, was so long ago. Why? That was a whole generation of people ago, you remember, if you recall this part of your Old Testament history. That was a whole generation of people ago. Hasn't Moses made up for it since then? Moses has been continually faithful to God for a long time. That was so long ago and so relatively small. Hasn't it just kind of canceled itself out? No. No. Because that's not the way sin works. Moses even talks to God about this. Obviously, it was on his mind. I mean, hearing that you're not going to go into the promised land with the people, that has to hit you deep. Not going to go into the promised land. That's the whole focus of Moses' life. Getting them out of Egypt into the promised land. What do you mean Moses won't be able to get in there with them? In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25, Moses is saying to the Lord, in verse 24 he says, you are a great God. There's no God like you who can do such works and mighty as you. Moses is truly praising our God. And, you know, he is also interceding for himself. God, you can do anything. You are a great God. Please, Deuteronomy 3:25, please let me go into this promised land. Please let me go beyond the Jordan and go into this promised land. That's exactly what Moses is begging for here. And the Lord becomes, the translations say, wroth or angry. I'm not a wordsmith, especially not in the Hebrew language, but I understand the tools well enough to know this is a really hard to define term. And a lot, it's defined, it's translated by a wide swath of English words. Not all the same. And it carries with it the idea of passing over or passing beyond, anger, wrath. That kind of implies that God is still, you know, upset with Moses. And I'm sure on some level that has to be the case. But I don't know. You take this for what it's worth and let it be the beginning of some of your own study and thought and consideration on the passage here. I can only imagine that God is very sad in this moment. As a parent, as a mother, father, aren't you sad when your children ask for something that you can't give them? Doesn't it break your heart a little bit, or maybe a whole lot, when your children want something that they just can't have? They want you, need you, ask you to do something for them that's just literally impossible. And it's a sad moment. And that's the moment between God and Moses here. Moses is asking God, is it possible? Sounding a lot like Jesus, wouldn't you say, the night before his crucifixion? If it's possible, Jesus said, please, let's call this off. Let's change this up a little bit. Moses is saying, please, if it's possible, let me go into that promised land. He wanted it so much. And for that matter, God wanted him to have it so much. But it just wasn't possible. It wasn't possible because sin has consequences. That's a major, major lesson staring us in the face as we look at these last moments of Moses' life. Sin has consequences. Yes, the sin was a long time ago, a whole generation of people ago. A lot of water under the bridge. Yes, the sin was, in my thinking and perhaps yours too, kind of small. I mean, sin is sin, and that's what we're learning here, is that God doesn't mess around with sin. Sin has consequences, and sin in any of its forms separates us from God. And there's no making up for that. There's no grace that erases that. There's no mercy that undoes that. There's no love, there's no kindness that can sweep that under the rug. Sin has consequences. Moses' sin was a big deal to God, whether you think it's a big deal or not, whether any of us do. It was a big deal to God. And though God loved Moses and was kind and merciful and gracious toward Moses, God could not turn a blind eye towards his sin. Moses, don't get me wrong, could be forgiven. Moses was forgiven by this sin, of this sin, rather. But that sin still had consequences. There are a lot of sins today that carry enormous consequences. There are some sins today that have a lifetime of consequences. So it's important for us to make sure that we don't play around with our obedience to God. It's a serious matter. And if we do something, God is not going to absolve us from the consequences of that sin. We can be forgiven of that sin, absolutely. Moses was. Moses went to be with the Lord. But the consequences of that sin, oh, they lasted. They lasted his entire life. And it's important for us to know that grace, mercy, love, all of the things that we saw God bathing Moses in, and in Deuteronomy chapter 34, Deuteronomy chapter 32, all of these things that the Lord blessed Moses with, love, mercy, kindness, even if you think like I think, the ability to see this promised land miraculously, oh, this is nothing short of amazing love and grace and mercy and kindness. But that sin still had its consequence. And Moses still had to live with the consequences of his sin. They didn't go away just because he loved God and God loved him so much. This sin didn't get swept under the rug just because it happened years and years and years and years ago. In a faraway place, Moses was far away from the place where he had committed that sin. But the consequences of that sin still impacted Moses' life. We need to remember the next time we are tempted, that the temptation and the sin might just be in a moment. But there could be some longer lasting, much longer lasting, your whole lifetime possibly worth of consequences, paying for that sin. You can still be saved and forgiven, of course. But if you put yourself in a position that has these long-lasting consequences, they never go away. They never run out. One thing, final lesson that we learn from Moses and his closing moments here is that close is not enough. Moses got as close as humanly possible to this promised land. Even more than humanly possible, I'm thinking and sharing with you tonight, God allowed Moses to see this land with more than human detail. God enhanced it or enhanced Moses' sight or showed it to Moses in a special way, I'm thinking, that allowed him to see it in glorious detail. Moses was so close, but close isn't enough. Tonight, there are a lot of people who are so close to being saved. You come to a Sunday night service like this on a dark, cool Sunday evening. Cool as in cold, brr, it's cold outside. And I know how close one has to be to Jesus and the Lord in order to do that sort of thing. But close is not enough. Make sure tonight that you're not missing out like Moses did. The same kind of sin that Moses committed that kept him out of the promised land can be what you commit that keeps you out of heaven. God doesn't want it to be that way. And here is a wonderful break from the story of Moses tonight. God is not going to keep you out of heaven because of your sins if you repent of them and confess them. God has a whole new deal with you. He wants you to be in heaven with him. He wanted Moses to be in heaven with him. There were some earthly consequences that Moses had to face from his sin. But spiritually, Moses was with God, and you can be tonight. If you will hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, we would be so happy to help you this evening. Obey God's plan of salvation. If you need to repent of sins as a Christian, learn from Moses' life and his struggle with sin. It's not something to take lightly. It's something that has consequences that have to be faced. And some of the consequences of our sin are eternal. If we die, if Jesus comes back, without our sins being repented of and washed away, well, then the consequences of those sins are spiritual and eternal, and they result, sadly, in a far worse separation from God than what Moses faced here in Deuteronomy 34. Good news tonight is you don't ever have to experience that. All the talk of being separated from God and being far away from him in darkness and fire and brimstone, you don't ever have to experience that. No, not at all. If you repent of your sins and confess the same, you will be forgiven. The Lord wants that for you, and so do we as the Lord's people. If we can help you with it tonight, come while we stand and sing.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.